Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Mike Hempen. Israel's defense minister says the Israeli military has killed Iran's intelligence minister. The killing follows Israel's killing of top Iranian security official Ali Larijani and the head of the Parliamentary Revolutionary Guard's all-volunteer force. Iran lashed out with attacks on its Persian Gulf neighbors and Israel, using some of the latest missiles to evade air defenses and killing two people near Tel Aviv. The AP's John Gambrell reports a projectile has hit an Iranian nuclear power plant.
Russia and Iran say that a projectile has hit the complex home to Iran's only nuclear power reactor. That reactor is in Bushehr, which is on the Persian Gulf coast in southern Iran. The Russians say that on Tuesday night, this projectile came in and struck the complex. They say that there was no damage done to the reactor there and that no radiological material was released. Iran has said the same thing. And the International Atomic Energy Agency, which is the United Nations nuclear watchdog, also reported the incident but cited Iran for its information. That's because IAEA inspectors broadly have been blocked from viewing Iranian nuclear sites in the aftermath of the 12-day war in June that Israel waged against Iran.
President Trump will be present when the remains of six U.S. service members return to Dover Air Force Base in Delaware. All six crew members of a KC-135 refueling aircraft were killed last week when the plane crashed over friendly territory in western Iraq while supporting operations against Iran. Mark Wayne Mullen is appearing before senators for a Homeland Security confirmation hearing as President Trump's deportation push faces rising backlash. This is AP News. The leader of the Supreme Court has a message for those who criticize judges.
Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts is warning personal criticism of federal judges is dangerous and it's got to stop. President Trump has been critical of judges who don't rule in his favor.
We've seen a handful of radical left judges effectively try to overrule the rightful.
Years ago, the president called a federal judge who ruled against the administration wacky, nasty, crooked, and totally out of control. In a speech at Rice University in Houston, Roberts was careful not to single out anyone or mention any names. He says criticism of judicial opinions comes with the territory and can be healthy, but it's different when the criticism moves away from legal analysis and becomes personally directed hostility. Roberts acknowledged the serious threats by noting Congress has responded by increasing funding for judges' security. I'm Ed Donahue.
I'm MB Kempen, AP News.
Cuba is going through its third island-wide blackout in 4 months. President Trump has had his eye on the neighboring country.
I do believe I'll be the honor of having the honor of taking Cuba.
And Secretary of State Marco Rubio talked about change.
They don't get subsidies anymore, so they're in a lot of trouble. And the people in charge, they don't know how to fix it. So they have to get new people in charge.
In Cuba, electricity is slowly being restored to hospitals and some homes. But officials warn the crumbling power network could fail again. In Havana, Dalva Obedo said, "The power outages are driving me crazy. Last night, I fell down a 27-step staircase. Now I have to have surgery on my jaw. I fell because the lights went out." After the U.S. ouster of Venezuela's leader, vital oil exports to Cuba have stopped. Ed Donahue, Washington.
A Republican-led House panel has subpoenaed Attorney General Pam Bondi to answer questions about the Justice Department's handling of the Jeffrey Epstein investigation and files. After voting earlier this month, the House Oversight Committee has now summoned Bondi for a deposition April 14th. The mere fact that the Justice Department failed to fend off a subpoena highlights wide discontent even among the Trump base over Bondi's management of reviewing and releasing Epstein documents as required by law. The department calls the subpoena completely unnecessary, Bondi and her top deputy are expected to brief panel members Wednesday. President Trump is fuming at NATO and most other U.S. allies who have rejected his calls to help secure the Strait of Hormuz.
NATO's making a very foolish mistake.
The president lit into an alliance he says should have reciprocated after years of American support.
I've long said that, you know, I wonder whether or not NATO would ever be there for us. So this was a great test.
The refusals laying bare that the international community sees the Iran war as one of Trump's choice, one squarely on his shoulders. The president says that's fine.
We don't need him, but they should have been there.
Asked if it could force him to rethink America's relationship with the alliance or leave it altogether.
It's certainly something that we should think about.
The National Counterterrorism Center's chief is resigning over the Iran war, saying he cannot in good conscience back the effort. Joe Kent says Iran posed no imminent threat to the U.S. at the White House.
Iran was a tremendous threat.
And President Trump says he does not want anyone in the administration who disagrees with that.
They're not smart people or they're not savvy people.
Kent's resignation after less than a year on the job reflects unease within the president's base about both the war and its justification. Kent says it's clear the war started due to pressure from Israel, which the president has denied. A top U.S. counterterrorism official has quit over the Trump administration's war in Iran. National Counterterrorism Center Chief Joe Kent says he cannot in good conscience back the war. On social media, he writes Iran posed no imminent threat to America, and it's clear the war started due to pressure from Israel and its American lobbyists. 2 weeks ago, President Trump denied Israel pushed him into war.
No, I might have forced their hand.
Saying he was convinced Iran would start a war.
They were going to attack first. They were going to attack if we didn't do it.
Kent ran the agency tasked with analyzing and detecting terror threats. The ex-Green Berets, a former political candidate with right-wing extremist ties, and had been on the job less than a year. President Trump says one of his predecessors made an Iran confession. Twice yesterday, the president said he did what no other chief executive had the courage to do, bomb Iran.
There's no president that wanted to do it.
And later told reporters,
I've spoken to a certain president, who I like, actually, a past president, former president. He said, I wish I did it.
Asked which president?
I can't tell you that. I don't want to embarrass him. It would be very bad for his career, even though he's got no career left.
One little problem, though. Representatives for all four living presidents, Clinton, Bush, Obama, and Biden, say none have been in touch with President Trump recently. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
Police in Jasper, Georgia, a small town at the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains, say an officer shot and killed a suspected gunman outside the Pickens County Veterans Affairs Clinic.
The individual was confronted by responding officers and was subsequently shot.
Jasper Police Chief Matt Dawkins.
One victim was located at the scene and transported for medical treatment.
Audio courtesy WSB. Jimmy Mooney was shopping nearby when he heard gunfire.
There was probably 17 of us inside the Goodwill that was shopping. And they had come and told us to get in the back of the store. During that time, we could see the officers running down the hill. Gunshots started going off.
Police say the FBI, Georgia Bureau of Investigation, and the VA Office of Inspector General will be investigating and assisting local authorities. Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett, a Democrat from Texas, confirmed that Diamon Mazare Robinson, a man killed during a lengthy police standoff in Dallas, was a longtime member of her security team. Police say he went by an alias, Mike King, for years, running a security business and hiring off-duty officers. Crockett says what she's learned about his past doesn't fit the person they came to know, and she believes in people's capacity for redemption. Dallas Deputy Police Chief William Kenneth said Robinson had posed as a federal officer, creating identification cards for a non-existent agency and had active felony warrants for theft. His ruse fell apart when Irving police put out a bulletin for a vehicle with stolen government plates. The plates were spotted on Robinson's car. He attempted to flee a traffic stop on March 11th and was cornered in an hours-long standoff in a hospital parking garage. Police video showed him pulling a gun before he was shot by officers. I'm Jennifer King.
Marine veteran Brian McGinnis, whose protest at a Senate hearing cost him a broken hand as officers and Senator Tim Shee forced him out, says U.S. support of Israel's campaign against Palestinians was the tipping point.
I had heard enough, and with the Marine Commandant coming up next, I felt that it was my time to speak.
He says President Trump is wrong in Israel and on the Iran war.
I want America to regain its stance of the beacon of hope in this world. And Trump is sacrificing that for I don't know what, for greedy, selfish business type reasons or energy allocation.
Meanwhile, for his protest, McGinnis was charged with assault and resisting arrest.
It's a day when everyone is Irish. St. Patrick's Day being celebrated across the country with parades and other events. In New York City, the NYPD pipes and drums, marching in the annual parade. Victoria DeCanto, watching from the sidelines, says it's her 25th.
The best thing in the world. Everybody's happy.
Ada Griffith is in from Ireland for her first St. Patrick's Day in New York City.
It's so cool to see the amount of people who come out and show so much support and so much respect and have so much fun in the spirit of Irish culture.
The annual procession is held along Fifth Avenue and always passes St. Patrick's Cathedral.
Bank of America tentatively settles a lawsuit claiming it ignored suspicious financial transactions involving Jeffrey Epstein. The deal came the same day billionaire investor Leon Black was originally to be deposed. The October lawsuit accused B of A of ignoring $170 million Black paid from his account to Epstein, purportedly for tax and estate planning advice. Though not a defendant, Black was described as a critical witness. The lawsuit was brought on behalf of a woman identified as Jane Doe, who was living in Russia when she met Epstein in 2011. The suit says she was coerced into a cult-like life. Julie Walker, New York.
Cities like Phoenix and Las Vegas are accustomed to triple-digit temperatures, but not in mid-March. And in San Francisco...
Yeah, usually it's not this warm in March, so this is kind of a nice surprise.
Excuse Jessica Ling for just wanting to soak in the warm, sunny weather at Chrissy Field Beach in the Presidio.
I'm out of the, you know, the winter blues and stuff like that, so it's nice to be out here enjoying the weather.
Yeah, this is very enjoyable.
Thomas Jamar is visiting from Texas.
Like, I've been out here before, and it'd be like so cold, I gotta have a sweater on.
It feels like summer already.
Justice Ruiz was walking a small pack of dogs.
Like, we go to the beach every day and this is perfect weather. So.
But here's the downer. The heat wave comes at the end of an unusually warm winter that's led to a lack of snow in the mountains. Snow that provides water for millions. I'm Ben Thomas.
I'm Seth Zutel, and this is the AP Markets Report. Stocks ticked higher on Wall Street, even after oil prices rose again because of the war in Iran. The S&P 500 rose 0.2% Tuesday. The index is coming off its biggest day since the war began. The Dow Jones Industrial Average edged up 46 points. That's about 0.1%. The NASDAQ Composite rose 0.5%. Airline stocks climbed after Delta and other carriers raised their forecasts for upcoming revenue. Delta jumped 6.6%. The price of West Texas Intermediate crude rose almost 3% to $95 a barrel. Treasury yields eased in the bond market. The yield on the 10-year Treasury fell to 4.20%. Seth Zutel, New York.
AP Sports, I'm Gethin Coolball. Venezuela has won the World Baseball Classic for the first time, rebounding from a blown eighth-inning lead to beat the United States 3-2 on Eugenio Suarez's tie-breaking double in the ninth. Venezuela built a 2-0 lead before a roaring pro-Latin America crowd in Miami. Eduardo Rodriguez and lights-out relievers limited the Americans to two hits before Bryce Harper's two-out, two-run homer in the eighth tied it. Daniel Palencia retired the side in order in the ninth, finishing a three-hitter. The U.S. fell short of its second WBC title and first since 2017. March Madness, Tremont Marks' tie-breaking jumper with 1 second remaining lifted Texas over NC State 68-66 in a first four battle of 11 seeds. Howard secured its first NCAA tournament victory over fellow 16 seed UMBC 86-83. Duke's Cameron Boozer, BYU's AJ DeBonta, and Arkansas's Darius Acuff Jr. headlined the men's AP All-America first team. NFL, the Broncos acquired star receiver Jalen Waddle from the Dolphins. And NHL, Oilers star Leon Draisaitl is expected to miss the rest of the season with a lower body injury. The World Anti-Doping Agency has put off a decision about barring government officials from major sporting events if their countries voluntarily withhold dues. Tuesday's move pushes a potential showdown with President Donald Trump and other U.S. officials until at least after this summer's World Cup. The WADA Executive Committee met and said it would consider the new rule in September, 2 months after the World Cup, which the U.S. is hosting along with Canada and Mexico. The rule would presumably go into effect before the 2028 Los Angeles Olympics. Iran's embassy in Mexico has suggested the country is negotiating with FIFA to move Iran's World Cup matches from the U.S. to Mexico. That's after President Donald Trump discouraged the team from attending the tournament, citing safety concerns. FIFA says it is in regular contact with the Iran Soccer Federation, and it is not changing the match schedule announced last December. Iranian officials have previously said it is up to FIFA and the U.S. to keep the team safe during the World Cup. I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
Former reality TV star Jesse Holmes has cruised to a repeat victory in the Iditarod, the roughly 1,000-mile sled dog race in Alaska. At the ceremonial kickoff, March 7th, Holmes said he wanted to put his best foot forward.
It means everything to me to defend the title. It means I have it, you know. It means I achieved my biggest goal in life, but we're not done, you know. I just want to try to keep pushing myself to do great things.
The course took dog teams and their mushers over two mountain ranges, along the frozen Yukon River and across the unpredictable Bering Sea ice. Holmes is a former cast member on the National Geographic reality show Life Below Zero, showing the struggles of people living in rural Alaska. Holmes currently lives on a homestead in Alaska, where his closest neighbor is 30 miles away. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
About 90 ships, including oil tankers, have crossed the Strait of Hormuz since the beginning of the war with Iran. Maritime and trade data platforms report it's still exporting millions of barrels of oil at a time, when it says it closed the key waterway for vessels of the US and its allies. And analysts say Iranian oil export volumes remain resilient. Many of the vessels that have passed through the strait are so-called dark transits, evading Western sanctions that likely have ties with Iran. More recently, vessels with ties to India and Pakistan have also successfully crossed the strait as governments step up negotiations. Iran is lashing out following the killing of one of its top leaders in an airstrike, with attacks on its Persian Gulf neighbors and Israel, using some of its latest missiles to evade air defenses and killing at least two people near Tel Aviv, as the war in the Middle East shows no sign of slowing. Israel, meanwhile, has kept up intense pressure on Lebanon, with strikes, it says, targeting Iran-backed Hezbollah militants, hitting multiple apartment buildings in Beirut and killing at least six people. In Iran, the Bushehr nuclear power plant complex was hit by a projectile, but there were no injuries and the plant suffered no damage, the International Atomic Energy Agency says after receiving a report from Tehran. EU officials say they've offered money and technical help to Ukraine to fix a key oil pipeline in Central Europe, which supplies both Hungary and Slovakia with Russian oil. The officials hope that they'll persuade Hungary to drop its veto on major aid to Ukraine. European Commission spokeswoman Paula Pinho says an expert is available to go to Ukraine now.
Things are happening as we speak, indeed, to make sure that we can, that all the necessary work is done in terms of reparation, in terms of restoration of the pipeline, so that oil supplies are eventually resumed.
Oil deliveries through the Druzhba pipeline have been halted since January 27 after it was damaged, leading to an escalating feud between Ukraine and Hungary. Ukraine blames Russian drone attacks for the damage. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.